looking forward to what God has for us in the message today. John chapter 15 in your Bibles, please. John chapter 15. And when you found it, if you're willing and able to stand in honor of God's word, we'll read John 15. We'll start in verse 1. We'll read down through verse 7. The Bible says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. We're going to focus in on verse 7. There's a lot we can talk about in context here of this passage. We have preached over this several times, honestly. I was preaching through prayer on the Sunday School series a little over a year ago. And this is, we touched on this passage here, and I felt like the Lord would at some point lead it into more of a message for a Sunday morning type message. And talk about the importance of prayer this morning. You know, because throughout the Bible, Jesus indicates his deep desire for a personal relationship, for us to talk to him through prayer. And he promises us that he'll help us in our time of need. But the problem is this, many Christians don't seek his help, which doesn't make sense. But we find ourselves there. So, I want to look at that idea this morning about abiding in prayer. Because he says, abide in me, and I in you. And there's been a lot of preaching on the abiding, a lot of preaching on the fruit, a lot of preaching on the branch and purging, and a lot of preaching on those different things and they're being withered, good for nothing. But I want to take that idea in verse, the first part of the verses there, and then attach that, graft it in, so to speak, talking about branches, to verse 7. And he says in verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So abiding in prayer. Our God in heaven, Lord, I need you this morning. And I feel like this is a simple message. I look at it, and, the prep work and the prayer and just the leading of the Holy Spirit in this. And it's a simple message, and that's good. I think it needs to be. And Lord, I pray that you just help us to take the simple truths, though, and that they would be profound in our lives as Christians. And I pray you be pleased in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. Yesterday at the ladies' luncheon, we had tried to get the word out to as many people as we could to plan the men to plan on being here at 11:30. We knew some would come early. We always bank on that. I don't always want to ask men to come early. Many would be willing to, but I, in faith, know some will come early. And if they come early, they're going to get put to work early. And so, and they did. And but one of the men came in yesterday. I'm not going to name names just because it makes him look good, and he has a habit of having a big head and makes others look bad. But he came in and he said, "What are my orders, sir? What would you have me to do?" And I almost said, you are a perfect illustration for my message tomorrow, but I didn't say that. All the men came in willing to serve. I mean, just all of them. And they served, and I'm thankful for that. What if every day we woke up in the morning and we had the attitude, that kind of attitude with the Lord? What's your purpose for our life today, God? How can I serve you today? Oh, you want me to do that? Okay. I'll do that. You know, yesterday, can we take out the trash? All right. You want me to clean the toilet? It happened yesterday. I'm sorry. We're not going to go in the story, but yeah, it happened. Okay. There's a little more that goes on behind the scenes than what people realize. I worked on the pipes for the kitchen sink on Friday night into the kind of late night, and Saturday morning I had a mess down there, and my wife's like, I need that kitchen now. Like, I need that kitchen 2 days ago. I'm like, I'm trying. I'm sorry. She was very patient. Don't get me wrong. She was very patient with me. But Brother Hunter came in. He had the youth rally Friday night, and I know he was up late. And I called him Saturday morning, and I didn't say, hey, I need you to get in here. But I said, when are you getting in here? And he told me, and he goes, do you need me come in earlier? I said, yeah. And I knew he was tired. But I said, you're going to make that decision. And he came, and he cleaned up my mess in the kitchen. I had tools everywhere. I had stuff everywhere. I had sawdust everywhere. And he came in, and Autumn came over, and they cleaned up that kitchen. Just the attitude of serving. Now, he's not the one I said has a big head about things. So that was somebody else. So, and he's not up here to hear me talk about him, so that he won't get a big head if you don't say anything to him about it. But just the attitude of coming in and serving. What if we woke up in the morning and we had that attitude? God, I want to serve you today. What if that became our prayer? Prayer is how we get a hold of God. Prayer is how we lay hold on the blessings and the power of God. Prayer is how we communicate with God. We bring our petitions before the Lord, and we are able to pour our hearts out to the Lord. We know a lot about prayer. We talk a lot about prayer, but I have a question for you. Do you pray? I think the need of every Christian is prayer. I think the need of every church, every preacher, every husband, every wife, every teenager, every child, every man, every woman is prayer. Prayer itself. This is a message on prayer, but we need prayer as much as we need more messages on prayer. A message is great, but you got to pray. There's seminars on prayer. There's books on prayer. There's different promises that we will pray, commitments, so to speak, of prayer, New Year's resolutions, but we need to pray. We need to just do it. It's not a pun to the Nike slogan. We just need to pray. What if every day, how differently would our day operate if we actually began our day in prayer? And we had that attitude of prayer of Lord, I want to abide in you. Lord, I want to do your will. Lord, what is it you want me to do? And God indicates throughout the Bible, not just in John 15, his desire for us to commune with him in prayer. And God shows us his willingness to help us when we have needs or when we have problems. And he wants us to bring those things to him in prayer, but not just a crisis mentality type of a prayer, as in I'm going to you when I need you, but a prayer dependent mentality, as in I can't help it. I got to pray. I've got to pray today. It's like you can't help but eat. You've got to pray. And it's been my experience that we as Christians, I'm including myself in with that, we might be good at praying when others are around, but often don't have a personal, private time with the Lord. So I really want you to consider your prayer life today. And I mean, we pray for things like meals that can be effortless, but praying personally, praying in an abiding relationship, a private prayer, that can be a daunting task. That can be agonizing as well. And if you intend to have a truly abiding relationship, he said, abide in me and I in you. In verse 7, he repeated it there. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, if you're abiding, you're going to pray. It's going to happen. That's going to be part of it. If you intend to truly have that kind of relationship, you've got to learn to pray. You've got to learn to abide with him in prayer. You've got to learn to spend time with him. You've got to learn to praise him. You've got to learn to plead with him. You've got to learn to pray for others and intercede on the behalf of others as well in prayer. So I want to look at, first of all, verse 7. We're going to break it down. And again, this is kind of stemming from a Sunday school lesson I taught a while ago. So some things might be similar if you, like me, you don't remember what the message was last week, let alone a year and a half ago. But in a Sunday school lesson for sure. But we're going to break it down here and just look at some words and look at the preparation, first of all. So notice the word if. If. There's something we must first do before we receive this promise. He said, if ye abide in me. He says that as we are preparing for a fruitful prayer life, we must first abide in him. And his words must abide in us. Romans 10:17, if you know it, say it with me. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, the word of God is our guide for our prayer life. We preached a message about 4 or 5 weeks ago emphasizing the importance of the Bible being our guide even in our prayer life. And the more mature you are in Christ, the more you understand the word of God, the more your prayer life will be in sync with his word. The more your prayer life will be in sync with his desires and more in sync with his will. The more you spend time in God's word, the more you know about God's word, the more you understand God's word, the more your prayer life is not going to be contrary to God's word. We won't pray amiss, ask amiss, but we'll pray according to his will. Proverbs 28:9, he that turneth away his ears from hearing the law, that's the word of God, even his prayer shall be abomination. God says if we're not listening to his word, and we try to ask for something, that our prayer is a mockery. It's an abomination to him. It's a joke. That's why Psalm 37 verse 4, turn there if you would please, is a verse that often people use and they misconstrue it maybe. And I don't fault anybody for that. It can easily be seen this way. And I do think there's some application to it regarding our desires. But we can have wrong desires, can't we? So when the Bible says here in Psalm 37 verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, it's not saying he'll give you all your desires. That's not what it's saying. What if you're desiring something wrong? Just because you delight in God doesn't mean all of a sudden he's going to give you something wrong. That's a wrong desire. That is not what the verse means. Unless your desires are right. And your desires are only going to be right if they're desires that are a result of delighting in God's word. You delight in God's word. You know God's word. You understand God's word. And then God's word affects your desires. God's word affects your wants. God's word affects your what you think you need in your life. And in essence, God is giving you, he's basically telling you what your desires ought to be through his word. And then therefore, he'll give you not just the right kind of desires, but those desires that are now the right kind of desires will be met and answered and taken care of. And so it's kind of like the kid in school. And I was this kid in school where I didn't study and I didn't prepare. And then the test came and it's here. And then I prayed, Lord, help me to get a good grade on this test. It's a joke, okay? Could it have happened? Could there be a miracle? Yeah, I suppose. And if I got a good grade, I don't think it was God interceding on my behalf. I think it was lucky, you know, all multiple choice. I decided to go with all C's, and then I got, you know, 80% on it. Praise the Lord. You know, you can't praise the Lord for that. That was luck. God says that when we reject his law in the same way, we reject his instruction, that our prayer is an abomination. And God desires more than an emergency-based relationship from you. God doesn't want to withhold his blessings. God, oh man, God has blessings for your life beyond your imagination. And he says that if we delight in his word, he'll give us the desires of our heart. How can we be more effective in prayer? How can we abide more effectively? Because, again, the prerequisite is if ye abide in me and my word abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be given unto you. So, how can I be more effective? How can my abiding be more effective? And Jesus answers that. He tells us step by step throughout the Bible how we can maintain an abiding relationship with him through prayer. There's some prerequisites to prayer. Since we're talking about prerequisites, we're talking about the word if, there's some prerequisites to prepare us for prayer. First of all, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our hearts should be set on the praise and adoration of God when we come to him. When we come to God, we should be prepared to praise God, not to demand things from God, not to command God. He's not a genie in the bottle for us to just meet our wishes whenever we want. Jesus taught the disciples concerning prayer. And he said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And again, more than just a repeated prayer. Please understand that in that context, Jesus said, in that very same context, in verses surrounding it, don't pray with vain repetition. So his example prayer was not meant to be repeated over and over like some will do. But if our hearts are going to be prepared for prayer, we've got to understand the holiness of God. Listen, we've got to understand the power of God. You serve a big God, don't you? We've got to understand our need to come with him with a sincere praise and honor to him. And we see this all throughout the Bible. Let's look at Acts 16, please, in verse 25. We see this evidence in Paul and Silas, and where they sang praises to God. Acts 16, in verse 25, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God." These were men whose hearts were filled with praise. I mean, they're going through a hard time. They're going through difficulty. They're literally in prison. And you would think their prayer would be, "God, get us out of prison. God, please, we don't want to be persecuted. We don't want to die. We just want to get back home." But no, that's not what they did. The Bible records for us that they praised God. They sang praises to God. It would do us a lot of good before we petition God that we begin to praise God. And that's what they did. Are you saying they didn't pray for release? I'm not saying that. I'm saying they praised God. So praise the Lord. He's worthy of it, isn't he? Confess known sin. Psalm 66:18 says this, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." So if we ignore God's words, Proverbs 28:9, I read it earlier, that if we turn away our ear from hearing the law, our prayers are an abomination. In Psalm 66:18, it tells us, "If we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will not hear our prayers." If I hide unconfessed sin in my heart, God says he will not hear me. To have a successful prayer life, to abide in Christ, I've got to praise him. To abide in Christ, I've got to come clean with God. I've got to confess any known sin to him. Anything less is a mere show. Listen, if things aren't right with my wife and I, usually on my part, we might be living in the same house. But the word abide doesn't mean just to dwell in the same place, not in context with what Christ said. The word abide is talking about a close, personal relationship, a bond, an intimacy. So I might be in the same house as my wife, but we're not having a great time because of things that need to be taken care of. And if I'm to abide with Christ, now I'm not talking about salvation. I'm saved. Once saved, always saved. I know for sure heaven is my home. I'm going to heaven. I accepted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit. Promise, nothing can separate me from the love of God. However, I'm not doing so good if I have unconfessed sin in my life. God already knows every sin you've committed. You can't put on a front with God. It wasn't too long ago, and it took over 20 years of marriage for me to realize this. Let's just help you out. Mother's Day is coming up, so let me help you out in advance of Mother's Day. Kids, you should listen to this too, okay? If something is wrong with your wife, you know something's wrong with your wife, so don't ask her, is something wrong? Because you know something's wrong. Right? Okay, if you've been abiding with your wife for a while, you know. So don't say, is something wrong? She's going to say no as she throws the pot under the cabinet. My wife doesn't do this. I'm told this is how it works out. And so, anyways, you know something's wrong. And when you know something's wrong, if there is something wrong, it's usually your fault. So don't say, what's wrong? Because the answer is you. You're wrong. You did something wrong. Or maybe you didn't do something and that was wrong. Maybe it's not what you did. Maybe it's what you didn't do. But you're wrong. So don't say what's wrong, or don't say is something wrong, and don't say what's wrong, because yes, something is wrong, you can tell, and you're what's wrong most of the time. And you know. You can't put on a front with your wife, because she knows when you are as well. In the same light, and even more accurately, you cannot put on a front with God. Well, you can pretend, and that we pretend with God. How can we think we can do this? I mean, we walk in church with our Bibles under our arms and are looking good in our nice Sunday outfits, and we smile, we sing the songs, and we say amen, and we put on a front with God at church. And I mean, when we're thinking about God, we put on a front. But when you begin your time with God, listen, this is very important. You ought to enter His presence praising Him, but you ought to enter His presence acknowledging your sin and seeking His forgiveness, and make sure you're right with God as you approach Him. I don't think I'm going to be able to talk about too much else in the world with my wife when there's that one thing that isn't going right. That's the topic of discussion. That's the issue at hand. And it might not be the right time to deal with that issue, but that's the issue at hand. And when you approach God, you've got to make sure you're right with God if you think you're going to get anywhere else with God. And in Psalm 34, verse 17, the Bible says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles." The righteous, that which is right in God's eyes, the righteous cry. Praise God, confess known sin. Go to Matthew 21, verse 22. This verse is a little different than the parallel passage you might be familiar with, Matthew 21:22. I like the wording here in Matthew. The third one is exercise faith. In all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, what's that word? Believing, you shall receive. The word believe means to put your total confidence in the Lord. And we can put our total confidence in God. I mean, 100% confidence. God doesn't let us down. God doesn't do wrong. God's word promises that when we pray in faith, believing, we can receive the blessing of God. But faith is not demanding something from God, by the way. We already touched on that a little bit. Faith is not telling God what to do. Faith believes that God can do whatever he determines to do. Faith places total confidence in the power of God. I don't know who needs this message this morning, but somebody's dealing with something. Somebody needs to go to God in prayer. Somebody needs to abide with Christ. Because if ye abide in me, ye shall ask what you will. If you abide in me in my word, you shall ask what you will. Somebody needs God to answer their prayer. As we come to the Lord in prayer, we've got to remember who he is, by the way, too. We've got to remember who we're talking to. The Bible tells us in John 14:13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. We pray in Jesus' name. I know we say in Jesus' name, amen, and we say that out of habit. We say that out of tradition. Baptists are real good at tradition, by the way. We say that out of ritual. Not thinking about the name of Jesus when we say Jesus' name. Not thinking about who we're talking about when we say in Jesus' name. But when we pray in his name, and if we are from our hearts praying in his name, we are literally invoking the authority of God, and we are asking that God's will be done in our lives. Another aspect about prayer, and this is very connected with the word abiding, and that's pray persistently. If I'm abiding with somebody, I'm with them. I'm constantly with them. I'm often with them. I mean, it's just this is we're together a lot. And when we're abiding with Christ, that's how it is as well. We ought to be persistent in our prayer to him. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer. James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. James 4:2, ye have not because ye ask not. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus taught the disciples that there were certain prayer requests that were only going to be answered through importunity. Importunity is just persistence, like nonstop, like continually asking. There's certain things that there's this attitude of importunity. And Luke 18:1 says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. What did you stop praying for? Now, if you got your answer, then great. But if you didn't get an answer, why'd you stop praying? There's some reasons. You might have been praying amiss. You might have been praying against God's will. You might have been praying selfishly. And when you realize those things, that's an answer right there. But there's some things that maybe we know we ought to continue praying for, and we stop. We had to be praying for more laborers in the harvest. We had to be praying for more souls. One to Christ. That's generally speaking. What personally in your life have you stopped praying for? What did you and your wife or you and your husband pray for a while and you stopped? Because there was silence. God's silence doesn't always mean a yes or a no. It might mean not now, but keep praying. To abide in prayer, we've got to continually bombard the throne of grace And persistent prayer is more than just come. When we say persistent, it means come again. It doesn't mean come one time and or come once in a while and give up. It means continual praying. You ever think about what prayer is for a second? Let's just talk about that just for a minute. What is prayer? I mean, we could get some different answers if we were to poll the audience here of what prayer is. It's not a religion. It's not a religious act. It's not a ritual. Can we just break it down and make it very simple this morning? Prayer is asking. It's part of it, anyways. Prayer is asking God for help. I realize that we define prayer as talking to God or confessing sin or adoring God or whatever, but the heart of prayer is simply asking God for help. Go to Matthew chapter 7, please. Matthew 7, verse 7, the Bible says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And him that knocketh, it shall be opened." God is telling you that prayer is asking God. The Lord blesses our importunity, the fact that we continually come to Him with requests. And God is pleased with our persistency, and He is pleased when we ask for help. And by the way, asking is subject to His will. Just the very definition of prayer, or the very act of prayer, is submitting to God. It's saying, "God, I can't, but you can. I can't, but I need you to." The very act of prayer, if we're doing it with the right heart, is a humbling thing, because we humble ourselves before the Lord, saying, "I'm in need of my God to come through and to help with this situation in my life." And prayer is asking, but we are asking must be subject to the will of God. When your kids say, "Dad, is it okay if?" They're asking, but if they have the right attitude in that statement or that question, they're submitting their question is in subject to the will of Dad. Which would be a great thing if that happened more often. Amen, parents? Well, it would be a great thing if we as Christians would have that same attitude with God. If you are away from God and you're resisting His will, if you are dishonoring Him and denying His voice, then you are likely to ask for things that would not be good for you, and God has no obligation to hear your prayer. And Paul wasn't wrong in his relationship with God. He wasn't a rebel or away from God when he asked God to remove the thorn. There wasn't anything going on in his life where he was dishonoring God or denying His voice. It wasn't like he was asking for something that he had no business asking for. But when he did, God said to him, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And so Paul said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Paul asked God for healing, and in God's will, the Lord didn't heal him, but told him His grace was sufficient. Sometimes you will pray for things that are not in the will of God for you. He might choose not to heal. God might choose not to remove that burden. But if He does, in those cases, He chooses then to give a special measure of His sustaining grace, His strength, to carry you through the trial. That's why Paul was able to say, "Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities." Paul was saying that even if God chooses not to take away his trial, he'll continue to praise God anyways. I said earlier, God is not a genie. Prayer is not my opportunity. to tell God what to do. Faith does not bind him to my whims. Prayer is my privilege to seek God's will and to ask for his help in accomplishing his will. And James 4:3 says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Sometimes we completely miss the mark in our prayer lives. Like the man who prays, God, I really need a new speedboat right now. And if you give me that boat, I'll only miss church 2 Sundays a month. And when I do, I'll have devotions on the boat. I promise, God. Don't raise your hand, because I don't want to know. I have tried to strike up a deal with God. Who are we to pray in such a way? Maybe it wouldn't be that silly, but I can't pray against a biblical principle and expect God to do it. James said our prayers are not answered because they're off the mark. They're out of the will of God. And if I'm not abiding in Christ, then most likely my prayers aren't going to be focused on things that God doesn't, that God desires, but they're going to be focused on things that God doesn't desire. If I'm not abiding in Christ, then my prayers probably aren't going to be lined up with God's will. We could actually be praying dangerously. Think about what happens when people start praying. What happens when moms and dads start praying? Husbands and wives start praying. I think praying together is great and it's good. It is good. But praying individually. Jesus said, "You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." What a statement. Would you go back to John 15, please? If I meet the prerequisites that Jesus set forth, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. If I meet the prerequisites, abide in me, my words in you, he simply says, it shall be done unto you. What is it that needs to be done unto you? Think of Moses, how God intervened. Think of Gideon. Think of Hannah, right? Mother's Day is coming up. Each of these came before God, asking for help, seeking God's provision, seeking God's power. And every time God honored their request, he intervened in their lives with his mighty power. William Carey said, attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. Learn how to pray. Learn to believe God can answer prayer. I believe I serve a God who specializes in impossible situations and he mightily answers prayer. There's no doubt that you need God's help with something right now, and you probably need answers to prayer right now. And God promises that if we will abide in him and his word abides in us, we can ask what we will and it shall be done unto us. I'm not preaching a prosperity message gospel right now. I'm not saying, you're going to get all these, you're going to be a billionaire because you are praying for it. Again, you miss the first part of the message if you are thinking that way. Abide in him. Let his words abide in you. And as you do so, his word guides your desires, guides your thoughts, guides your heart, and he'll give you whatsoever you shall desire. Because he gave you those desires in the first place. He'll answer prayer. Why would God be so available? Why would he care? Why is he so interested in answering prayer? Look at John 14. It's just a passage before. Look at verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. Why? that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Why does God want to bless you? Well, He wants you to glorify Him in return. He wants you to sing, "To God be the glory, great things He hath done." He wants you to glorify Him in return. He desires your praise. He desires your thanks. God answers prayers so that you will tell others of His goodness. He desires for you to tell somebody about His blessings in your life. He wants you to share the victories with others. He wants you to glorify Him before others. If you've been healed, if you've been blessed, if you've been cared for, tell somebody about it. And tell God thank you. Praise Him. Glorify Him. If your marriage has been spared, glorify God. If somebody recognizes God's blessings in your life, don't take the credit. Give God the glory. An abiding Christian is a praying Christian. Think about it. Prayer is what began your relationship with Christ. It's faith, I know. But whosoever shall what? Call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So prayer then is the key that begins an abiding relationship with Christ as well. Abide with Him in prayer. Come to Him moment by moment. Seek His help in every aspect of your life. He's waiting to meet with you. But as you do so, ask these questions. Am I abiding with Him now? Can I ask this question? Am I saved now? Do I even know Christ as my personal Lord and Savior? Do I know for sure if I were to die today, I'd open my eyes in heaven? You can. You can know. And that begins a relationship with Jesus Christ. And from that point forward, you can have an abiding relationship with Him. In John 14, 13, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Am I acknowledging His power and presence in my life? Am I praising His name? Have I confessed sin? Do I believe He can answer this prayer? Am I praying in His name persistently? Am I staying in the Word of God? These are all things to consider. They need to be answered in the affirmative. How's your prayer life? Let me say this. If it's worth worrying about, it's worth praying about. And if you're praying about it, kind of lessens the worry, because you're praying to God who can. So you're praying to God who can. He can. Do you believe that? So spend some time in prayer with Him. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, Lord, we love You. And thank You for Your word. Not really much of a normal Sunday morning type message, but I don't know that that matters too much, Lord. We have Christians here who have a God who, and that God who desires an abiding relationship, an intimate relationship with us, is reminding us of these things. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to respond how You'd have us. Maybe there's other needs here this morning, and Lord, please meet those needs. Whatever it is, Lord, work on our hearts. I pray this in Your holy, precious name. Amen.